Welcome to Sportsline. After week two of high school football, we survived. Eddie Pierre here along with Dave Frederick and our guest again, Phil Nickel. Appreciate his time getting up bright and early. And guys, as a wild and crazy wet one in some parts. But I know I had quite an offensive show down in Brown City, and you guys were covering games as well. Week two was under our belt. And looking forward to what's happening here. We're going to go through some scores from 11-man here in a minute and cover that part of the world first, and then we'll switch to 8-man later in the show. But, Eddie, you guys were up in Laker, your Thumb Tailgater crew, one of them, and I believe also down in Croswell. Fun night of football.
Yeah, great night of football action. Croswell Lexington Pioneers hosting Yale Bulldogs. Phil will be talking about there. By the way, hello, Phil.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
All right, and also, yeah, and Lakers, the wind turbines were spinning. In fact, the water levels were as high as Lakers defense was also. So a good game there, 18-0 there in the Greater Thumb West. I think it's going to be a tough West. Reese, despite not scoring, is a good defensive team.
Yeah, and we weren't sure about Reese at the start. In the preseason, we were talking they might be down this year, but they got a win under their belt in week one, and they're kind of hanging around. And, of course, on 92.5 WBGB and live stream, we did the Sandusky Redskins at Brown City. The Green Devils coming off a close win in week one, and the Skins were still kind of smarting over their loss to Saginaw in week one, that shootout here at Woodard Field. But they went into Brown City last night and put on just a crazy offensive show.
I saw the scores on
just
that.
Just a huge,
through.
I mean, DeLorean Wedge had just a crazy night. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. But he only touched the ball maybe a half dozen times, but had over 300 yards rushing.
Whew.
And great night for him.
Yeah, great for him. And I would say a good, well-balanced offense, my Laker offense. Reese, you know, they're almost there, but not just quite yet under their new first-year head coach, who was a student at the Reese Rockets and was under Bob Saylor, if you remember, a great coach from the Reese Rockets. Yep. And he was a coach under him. He got to even help coach assist him also. And Cody Reif is the new head coach for Reese, if you did not know, and graduated from SVSU. Oh. Go Cardinals. Yes. You know, my wife is a Cardinal alumni and also a Skipper alumni, as well as Phil here. How about you?
Nope, I'm not from these parts for college.
You're like me because I went to SC4 a little bit and I said, you know what? Somebody says, you got talent, drop college, get a job. And I said, all right.
Don't get educated.
And hence the God Fury was born.
Oh, boy. You know, you're gonna feel me full of overconfidence in my golf play today. So, yeah.
We'll see how that goes for you later, Eddie.
Well, we got some scores here, right, Dave?
We do. In 11-man football, as Eddie mentioned, the Lakers beat Reese 18-0. The Croslex Pioneers beat the Bulldogs 18-3. Strong defense here by the Pioneers. Richmond stays on the winning track. They beat Elginac 26-7, while Elmont crushed Emily City / Dryden 56-7. It was North Branch going to 2-0. They're the number one team in our Thumb Sports Writers poll. They beat Armada 34-6. In the game that we had on 92.5, Sandusky beat Brown City 50-6. Likewise, Harbor Beach, big win over Marlette, 46-0. Carroll shut out KPAG 19-0. And Ubley beat Memphis 54-0. So the big three dogs in the Greater Thumb East, Eddie, are off and rolling.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle to the end. And that is going to be our coverage in week three. You got a big one, eight-player football. We'll talk about that in just a bit also. I know you got some great interviews coming up. Craig Jacobson and Bill Brown. And who else?
Garrett Redman from Croslex.
That's right. And I also will have Lakers head coach Steve Verberg also. I kept it under 10 minutes. Maybe under 7.
Better than 20 minutes last week. Finishing out the scores from last night, 11-man, Cass City holds on for a 13-8 win over USA. Badass got their offense rolling 66-14 over Vassar, while Frankenmuth beat Standish Sterling 42-13. Ithaca, a little bit of a handful there. They beat Millington 16-0 is all. And then some Port Huron area scores. Romeo beat Port Huron Northern 36-7. It was Port Huron 20, Anchor Bay 6. Marysville, crazy rally. I just saw the replays on Channel 7 Action News. That was their game of the week. Marysville down 13-0, 3 minutes to go in the ball game. They scored 14 points in the last 2 minutes. The last touchdown, a little trickery. Wow. They win 14-13. St. Clair wins there, 2-0, beat Hazel Park 33-8, Marine City 47, South Lake 14, and Woods Tower 58, New Haven 0.
All right. Thank you, Dave. You got the Frankenmuth Millington score or not?
Frankenmuth.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, Frankenmuth was 42-13, a winner over Standish Sterling, and Ithaca beat Millington 16-0. Those are scores off of the Thumb Tailgaters.
Hey, thank you. And from also Dave Frederick here, a mix of the Blue Water and Greater Thumb and also MAC leagues that we are trying to keep an eye on, because the way these divisions are shaping up because of the loss of students and all that, they get realigned a lot, don't they, in the divisions and who you're going to play.
Yeah, a lot of movement around, and you know, this is going to be the final year we talked about last week, the final year for 6 wins and you're in. Yeah. Starting next year, it's going to be more of a strength of schedule type thing, and that'll be interesting. But a lot of action last night. We had some rain there in Brown City, and wasn't really a factor. I'm really impressed with the Redskins and how they cover up the ball and carry out their fakes. Great game, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes when we come back from our break.
All right, that is Dave Frederick with your score report in Week 2 high school football here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. Stay tuned. We'll have more to talk about. What are we going to talk about next?
We're going to cover the Sandusky game.
Okay.
And then we'll jump into the Pioneers and Bulldogs.
All right. And we'll be right back here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. Again, big shout out and thanks to our sponsors for this hour. Snover Mattress, who also had Jones Equipment Rental, Bench Warmers, hello, Knox Disposal, Graf Chevrolet Auto Dealership in Sandusky, the Health Store, and Croswell Lexington Laundry. I'm sure they're washing those jerseys a little wet yesterday, as Phil will indicate. Automotive Deckerville, More Motor Sales, Kohler Oil and Propane, Tri-County Equipment, a Sandusky location, many locations across the Thumb area. Speaker Loan Oak Orchard, you got to fill up on that fruit. And Liberty Lanes, why not do some bowling? Thumb Cellular and More Motor Sales also. We'll be right back. Right, that is Earth, Wind, and Fire, if you did not know. It is September, by the way. We started our week one in August. We move into September. All the games on a Friday night. Majority of them. There is one Saturday game, I do believe. Caseville will be playing on a Saturday. All right. Wait, we got to hear that part.
There you go. This is Eddie doing karaoke.
God, yes. Fury.
All right. Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire was September, by the way. It's a very cool song. Okay.
Also, a Thursday night game, too. Kingston beat CPS.
That's right.
They had a problem with the officials, and that's kind of a growing problem statewide with getting enough officials to work these games. So they moved that game at CPS to Thursday night, where, of course, Kingston Cardinals, we'll talk more 8-man later, but Kingston got on the win on the winning side with a victory over Carsonville. So we can jump into Sandusky's last night.
Yeah.
We got lots to cover. So
Greater Thumb East League play really got fully underway last night.
Yeah, and it was started out in a bang. Sandusky going into there, they had some adversity. They got some players that are out. Three two-way starters were not in that game last night. And so Coach Jacobson said, chance for some other kids to step up and fill the gaps, and they did quite well. And, of course, when you have DeLauren Wedge on your team, that's a good thing. Sandusky took the opening kickoff, and they needed just one play. Wedge broke free. He took off, set sail on a 64-yard touchdown run. He scored all night on a variety of runs. They were all just about the length of the football field. He scored on runs of 64, 61, 75, 85, and 85 yards. The boy had over 370 yards on just 4 touches, Eddie. That's a pretty good night.
That's just ridiculous. And for Sandusky, the bounce bats, you know, from that loss to Sagan Nouvelle, it does help when you have Brown City Green Devils. Sometimes you just don't know what Brown City has after week one. Now you kind of do. And now it was probably a good exercise for these Sandusky Redskins to kind of bounce back, get to 1-1, prepare for that week 3 action. But go ahead.
And I knew it when we saw them in week 1 against Nouvelle that I said it all along. I think I even said it last week. This team's going to make the playoffs. They're a lot better than advertised, and that Nouvelle team's going to end up going deep
into
the playoffs.
They scored 21 points in what's now known as a pretty decent Sagan and Nouvelle team. Not bad, you know, for what the type of offense that Sandusky's only running and what they basically run. But when they do run right there, you know, you got that many yards.
I mean, the first touch, I mean, he was gone. Yeah. He broke on that far sideline toward the Sandusky side, and nobody caught him. Once he got that backfield, he was just gone.
And the final score was, what, 50-0 on that one?
50-6. Brown City did score. You know, Brown City actually moved the ball. They were down in the red zone a couple of two, three times against Sandusky. Turned the ball over twice on downs, once on a bad snap fumble. But, you know, they moved the ball. They did some good things. That Johnny Martis for Brown City, he's been there forever. And nice job running the ball. But you got to really give kudos to Sandusky. Both sides of the ball up front on the line, offense and defensive lines. Offensive line did a great job opening holes for Wedge. The linemen knew they only had to hold their blocks for a second or two, and Wedge was gone. And then defense was just blowing through the Brown City line and hitting Dawes. Their quarterback got hit, you know, as he's handing the ball off. And Sandusky was pumped and ready to play last night, and they're going to need that kind of enthusiasm for week three.
Yeah, and they're going to be at the Ubley Bearcats. I'll be covering that game with a Thumb Tailgater crew. But for Sandusky, I think Sagan and Novell giving that slap in the face probably woke up the players saying, we've got to play better right away here. We scored 21 points. They were in that game with Sagan Novell at one point. But Novell found a way, made the adjustments, and pulled away for the, you know, for that substantial win that you covered.
We'll hear in a couple of minutes that Coach Jacobson said that defensive coordinator Steve Blaschel made some adjustments from that game week one, and that defense was fired up to play last night. I want to finish out this scoring second half, give kudos besides Wedge scoring his big runs. Martin Tovar, just a sophomore, got some action, and he scored on a 54-yard run, really nice run. And then also Seth Beagle scored, and Brown City's final touchdown. Check that, Sandusky's. And so those kids got a chance to play, and all the kids for Sandusky played, obviously, and got to a point of a running clock there in the fourth quarter. And we stayed able to get our commercials in, so that was a good thing by the broadcast crew. That's always a challenge, but made it happen. And good night of football if you're a Redskins fan. And Brown City goes down to Memphis next week, so they might be able to get a win down there. And that Dawes did a nice job at quarterbacking, and we'll see if they can bounce back. But great win for the Redskins, and they're going to need it going into week three. It's going to be a tough showdown with Ubley.
Yeah, have that game in the third week. That's basically your Greater Thumb East League title game for Sandusky at this point. They'll need help further down the road if they can get some help from Harbor Beach, and then for somebody else to beat Harbor Beach or Ubley, vice versa, and all that. But week three will be another true test, a big test for the Sandusky Redskins. Similar offense because Craig Jacobson, as you remember, comes and hails from that Ubley coaching pedigree, you could say.
But he's not out in Bill Sweeney's rock band or nothing like that.
No. So there's no Even Stevens there right now. So, boy, it's a cool song. We might have to play it again here because Ubley got the big win. But yeah. Sandusky, they got Ubley, then K-Pac, Marlette, Vassar, Memphis, Harbor Beach, Bad X. You know, those two games at the end, Marlette, you never know. You know, sometimes they pull the magic out of the bag once in a while, like they did against Harbor Beach last year in week two. They didn't this year, but we'll talk about it in just a minute. But after this break here, we have the interview with Craig Jacobson. Basically, total yardage, Sandusky had what?
About 1,000. Touching on 450 to 500 yards because DeLauren Wedge had 380 himself. So, and I know Tovar had 50, seemed like 500. So they're well over 450 yards rushing. Great night of running the ball for the Skins.
And it seemed like Brown City had opportunities to score, but they just couldn't get it in.
No, they couldn't get it in, and, you know, they tried some passing, and that Sandusky defense just was really stout and playing tough last night, and they were amped up, and they're going to need that enthusiasm as they get deeper into the season.
I just want to make a note, by the way, Brown City is the dead zone for, cell signal. When everybody's on the Thumb cellular network out there, it saps it down. So
I can tell you what, we had some anxious moments at the start of the game because having some technical problems.
That's why you bring the tech crew out there to help you out.
And Adam's like, we might not be able to go on the air, and I'm like, Adam, yes, we are.
Yes.
So we got it working and finally got onto the right program that we had to be on with the reception, and had some really good comments from folks listening both 92.5 and live stream late, and they were really happy with the broadcast, and it was a fun night, and Adam did a great job of keeping us wired in there, and we kept him busy, and a good job to Adam Filkins and my broadcast partner Cliff Amy also. His usual fine job.
Who I will see on the golf course later today, by the way.
And who you will see on Sports Planet. Talked to him last night.
Awesome.
He agreed to come in here sometime when we're looking for some more help. So he's quite the avid golfer, and you're going to find out today just how your boy can still golf.
Yeah, I'm bum shoulder.
Oh,
right,
don't make excuses.
Hey,
here we go.
I'm not making excuses.
Putting it out there already.
Jay Patterson, I hurt my pinky. I'm out for the game.
I tough it out.
First play of the game, I fumbled the ball.
I will tough it out. Okay,
what's
so Brown City.
Wolverines, man.
Yeah. Hey, look out. We're playing
Jay
Army.
Jay Patterson, first time he touches the ball, I'm hurt.
Come on now. Easy.
I love it. I love it already. We're at it already this morning.
Easy. They probably had the juice of Peyton Manning in him. Maybe he got some blood from him, a blood transfusion. Burton Bendel, by the way, was the win for Brown City in week one, 20-18. They lose to Sandusky in week two. The coverage at 92.5. And it's always good to have Memphis on your schedule, but then they'll have a buzzsaw. Harbor Beach, Bad Axe, and then the B-Cup showdown against Marlette. Coming up next, the interview with the winning coach of the Sandusky Redskins, Craig Jacobson, that Dave Frederick did. We'll be right back here on the Sportsline Show on WMIC AM 660. And welcome back to Sportsline, WMIC AM 660.
Had a chance to talk with Sandusky coach Craig Jacobson this morning early. My least favorite task of a Saturday morning, calling these coaches after playing Friday night. Some sleep in, some don't want to talk to you. They just don't want to.
I'm up all night checking my fantasy team.
Cry me a river.
Trubisky, shame on you.
Fantasy. My fantasy is getting some sleep. That'd be nice. But anyways, talked to Coach Jacobson, and of course, happy with the win and a great overall team effort. And I think Eddie's got that queued up. We can go to that interview now. Plays and some pretty stout defense considering the weather. Just talk about your victory and congratulations.
Yeah, real proud of the kids. You know, we did a great job. We came out. We worked hard all week. You know, we had to have some kids step up. We had a real good week of practice and came out and executed the game plan offensively and defensively. So real proud of them.
And certainly. Delorean Wedge got you off to a nice start. First time you touched the ball, had that long touchdown run. But you guys piled up some big numbers on offense. Certainly, I believe it was over 400 yards rushing. It's a pretty nice night.
Yeah. The offense line did a great job. They, we're real physical up front. We executed what we want to do offensively. The backs blocked well for themselves and. All together, it was a real good team effort.
And I know we had talked we had this game on the radio, and Cliff, Amy, and I were talking about how close your running backs are to your quarterback, and then that kind of gives a lineman just a knowing that they got to just hold their blocks for maybe 1-2 seconds. You got some quick backs that can hit that hole, and they're off to the races. Good job by your front line.
Yeah, they did a great job last night. And as I said, we had to have a few kids step up and play that don't normally play the same positions, and so those kids they got some reps this week and they stepped up big time for us. Stepped up big last night.
I thought your defense did a nice job. Brown City moved the ball a little bit three or four times downfield, a couple of times deep into the red zone. But you guys stood tall and took the ball over on downs. Strong effort by Coach Blashill and his defense.
Yeah, he did a great job this week. That offense could, they can do a lot of different things, and it can be explosive when it gets rolling and everything. And our kids, same thing there. We had to have some kids step up there that. Different positions and we repped it throughout the week and got great looks from our scout offense and kids really played well and coach did a good job of making little adjustments as the game was going on and so it was a great job there.
I know your kids really seemed from up in the booth, seemed really quick to the ball and did a great job of getting in Brown City's backfield a couple of times there. They were trying to make a tackle the same time that Dawes was handing the ball off, and just a good job by the front line on defense as well. Really strong game both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they up front, we control both lines of scrimmage, and they we weren't standing up, getting driven back, which is, you know, big for, you know, when you're going against that offense or any good offense. And kids stayed low, and you know, we executed, you know, they did a very good job technique wise, so we were really pleased with their effort. We were pleased with the outcome, and overall, just a good team win. You know, handled a little bit of adversity and stuff throughout the week, and real proud of them. Real proud of our kids and our coaching staff. You know, because they did a good job.
And I know coming off that loss to Saginaw was key for to get a win. You really had even though you lost, we talked about that game in Saginaw. I'm pretty excited. A lot of offense on both sides of the ball. So nice to get the win, 1-0 in the conference in the Greater Thumb East. And more so coming up is a trip to Ubley. Just talk about that game. That's going to be a great ball game and a showdown of two of the three best Greater Thumb East teams probably.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's going to be a good game. I mean, Ubley's, it's going to be a physical game just like it's been in the past. And both teams are going to be amped up a little bit. They're a well-coached team. You know, got a lot of respect for those guys up there. Our kids are, we're going to have to come out and have a great week of practice, you know, come out next week and execute, you know. So it's not much, you know, it's no rocket science there, you know. Yeah. So they got a couple victories under their belt, and, you know, they're going to be a great opponent for us. They're going to be great.
And certainly two teams basically pretty similar style of football, just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Even though you can throw the ball a little bit, but two pretty similar styles and just pound the ball.
Yeah, you know, they got a nice quarterback up there, you know. You know, Casey's, I think, in his third year running the helm there. And they got, you know, a lot of, you know, good players around him. You know, they got some big backs. Defensively, they got some good players over there. You know, nice linebacker. And so they're good. They're well coached. Good team, and we're going to have to put our best foot forward, and we'll see where she ends up.
Okay, I've been talking to Sandusky coach Craig Jacobson, and coach, thanks for your time really this morning, and congratulations on the win, and looking forward to that game next week, and best of luck to you.
Yep, thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty, and we'll be back after these words.
Which gives us a chance right now on Sportsline to check in with our weather forecast, hoping for good weather to be on the outdoors, especially with the Ann Arbor crew out there in Michigan taking on Army Michigan State later this evening against Middle Tennessee. We'll get to that at the very end of Sportsline. Here's our weather forecast.
Well, the forecast for this Saturday, look for a mostly cloudy to partly sunny setting for today. High temperatures 60s to near 70. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, lows 49 to 50. Partly sunny Sunday, high 64. By the way, bright sunshine on Monday and a high of 68 to 70. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
I'm at Western Michigan. Air temperature 60 degrees, very sleepy. Got some sun out there now in downtown Sandusky. 60 degrees. Winds are blowing towards the southeast, 3 miles per hour. We'll be back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Run with us as we take the unstoppable John Deere Gator XUV 835 off the beaten path and onto the Great North American Test Drive. We put the Gator to the ultimate test in North America's most extreme conditions, from the blistering heat of the Salt Flats to the sub-zero temps of Fortress Mountain, all to show you how the XUV 835 is heat-tested, stress-tested, and everything in between tested. So buckle up and be prepared to go the extra mile. Because when others take rain checks, we take the wheel. With factory-installed three-wide seating, heat and AC, the XUV 835 is our coolest, most comfortable Gator yet. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Carroll, Bad Axe, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Reese, and Saginaw.
And welcome back. Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. Recapping week two high school football. Coaches, if you want to send your stats and recaps so we can talk about your team and your players, Eddie F at SandLackBroadcasting.com or Dave F at SandLackBroadcasting.com or ThumbtailGator at gmail.com as we pull together our information here to recap week two action. And we just heard from Sandusky head coach Craig Jacobson. Dave Frederick, big game in week three. I'll be out there covering it. Somebody's got to watch this game and keep an eye on it. Very important game for Sandusky and for Ubley. Coming up in week three, Sandusky at Ubley.
Wouldn't be surprised if whoever wins that conference of those big three going to have one loss anyway. And who knows, a lot of football to be played. And Eddie, I think you need to change your email address, by the way, to the Eddie the God Fury.
The God Fury is going to catch on. That's this season's moniker.
Why is that even a thing? Is it because of Paul Adams?
No, it's the brainchild of Mike Smith and myself. Last week we were broadcasting. We were talking about the history of Thumb Tailgater.
Yeah, well, Paul Adams started it from the Huron County View now, by the way, sports editor. And which we get a lot of our show prep from, too.
Exactly. And we were talking about how you were the founding member of Thumb Tailgater and all this. So we call you the God Fury.
This is the godfather of broadcasting or webcasting or something like that.
The godfather of webcasting, and I just truncated it to the God Fury because
somebody
it makes sense.
At Lakers walked up to him. He's God Fury. He goes, I am not a god. No, there's only one true God.
Now, let's clarify. This is not indicating that Eddie is a god.
No.
It's just a play on the Godfather.
No. I am a servant.
Which is, you are directing everybody toward quality football coverage is what you're doing, hence the God Fury.
I am a servant.
He could be the goddess if he shaved his legs.
There you go.
The goddess Fury.
I've seen him do that before, so there you go.
Well, you should see this weird patch of hair. No.
Don't even start, Eddie.
Somebody pointed out in the locker room one day. Okay, moving on. So, Sandusky will be at Ubley week three. I'll be covering that game myself on the Thumb Tailgater crew. I don't know if it's going to be in Channel 1 or Channel 2.
We'll have to wait and see.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, it is. But another team that is in play for the Greater Thumb East, the Harbor Beach Pirates, big win, hosting Marlette 46-0 and avenging last year's head-scratcher of a loss to Marlette Red Raiders last year where Harbor Beach lost 20-14, if you recall.
I think that game might still have been on some minds last night. You know, those guys, that was in Marlette last year, and big win for the Red Raiders. But Harbor Beach had a little revenge on their mind. They took care of business. Harbor Beach is a solid team. They're a team that a lot of people are expecting to see playing at Thanksgiving time.
And, well, you know, the thing with Harbor Beach after that loss, that was a good slap in the face because they ran off undefeated up until the semifinals, which, head scratcher, I'll leave it alone about the officiating. you know, the lack of officials right now. It's a hard job, for one thing. They lost to Breckenridge 12-0 in that state semifinal in Division 8. But that could have cost them, you know, the Greater Thumb East League title, and it very well could have, because it was a tough win last year against Ubley, 36-28. They had to play Sandusky 20-0. That's not an easy win. But, you know, you got to, and when it comes to the Greater Thumb East, right now we're seeing the three-headed monster poke its rear head, Harbor Beach, Ubley, and Sandusky right now.
Yep, and that's the same as it was last year, too, and a lot of people expected that, and, you know, that's going to be an exciting Greater Thumb East, and in the Greater Thumb West, we're expecting, you know, three, four teams to be battling things out there.
Up next for Harbor Beach, by the way, is KPAC. They do have Brown City. The showdown on September 27th against Ubley, followed by Memphis. And then USA, Sandusky, Lakers. That is a gauntlet for the Harbor Beach Pirates.
It really is, and it's going to truly test them late in the season. They're kind of at a midseason lull here. Avenging that loss last year, 46-0. We talked about Harbor Beach making a deep run last year. And also in the polls, Schmoles, as Eddie likes to say, in Division 8, they are currently ranked fourth in the state, Harbor Beach is.
Oh, in the state.
Just for your information, yes. The poll Schmoles, as Eddie says.
All right, and then, well, for Marlette, two straight losses, 33-14 the Reese to open up the season. This big loss, 46-0 to Harbor Beach. Look who they have next. They got Cass City.
Yep, and that's not going to get any easier. And Denny Lester, you know, said last week they got a very young ball club. So even though they have some experience at quarterback, the rest of the ball club, pretty young. And they're going to take their lumps and keep fighting like they always do. And you never know what's going to happen.
Well, the key thing for Harbor Beach defense, not allowing a single passing yard against Marlette last night. Harbor Beach had 123 passing yards. Yes, 123 passing yards. And, you know, they use a spread offense. You can pass. You can pass in a wing T, but they use a variety of offense out there, from the wing T to the spread offense. And even Craig Jacobs says, I hate that when they do that, because that is tough to defend sometimes.
Yep.
And especially when they do the audibles behind the line. 325 rushing yards for Harbor Beach, limiting Marlette to 65 rushing yards. 24 first downs for Harbor Beach, 3 first downs for Marlette. So the time of possession on Harbor Beach side.
That's what we really call a no-doubter. They wanted this game bad to avenge that loss last year, and they just totally went out and dominated every single facet of the game.
And Peyton Dale was the leading rusher, 14 carries, 54 yards for Marlette. For Harbor Beach, Kadar, number 10, 123 yards passing for Harbor Beach. Apparently, might have been the fact that it might have been a slight injury to Michael Anderson, from what I recall, last week. Maybe.
Mr. Anderson.
Number 10, Kadar, had 4 of 7, 123 passing yards, 1 touchdown passing. Whoa, puff. 9 carries, 101 yards, very efficient, and a touchdown. Number 6, Woodkey, 1 reception for catching passes, 86 yards, 1 touchdown also. So the bulk of those yards from one player. Big plays.
Similar to the Sandusky Redskin, you know, Wedge. We were joking in the booth there in the first quarter. He had like over 130 yards on 2 carries. And it's like it's going to be one of those nights. And very high potent offenses in the top part of that East, in the Greater Thumb East. And going to be some exciting football.
I think Anderson was actually moved to a running back position at number 12. He had 9 attempts with 67 yards. Had 2 touchdowns. So kind of switching things up. I know last year he played quarterback, so.
He did.
Also, a variety of rushers for Harbor Beach. He had Boynton with 49 yards. Hesseling, that's a big family, 44 yards. He had 12 carries, but those were efficient, probably hard yards. But Hesseling, probably a big kid, 2 touchdowns in that game also. So 44 yards, but, you know, it's like one of those fantasy football things. You got to think about what player to choose. That's the player you choose to hit that goal line or about 5 yards and, you know, get in the end zone.
Vulturing those touchdowns. I love it, yes.
Sarovsky also with 2 carries, 36 yards, 7 carries for Kadar, number 10. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I'll get it right in a couple games here for the quarterback. He had only 7 carries for 20 yards. So not leaning on your quarterback, but leaning on the trio backs you have in the backfield also for the Harbor Beach Pirates. Harbor Beach up next for them on the schedule. And it's, this is going to be KPAC. For KPAC. They went up against Carroll last night, losing 19-0. So they kind of hung there with Carroll, where Carroll scored about 20-plus points in Birch Run.
Mm-hmm. KPAC's got a tough road. You know, they're new first-year head coach, and they've been shut out back-to-back weeks, and things aren't going to get any easier, obviously, hosting the Pirates. Oof. And they just, when you still got Harbor Beach, you got Ubley, you got Sandusky on your schedule, things aren't looking pretty down in Chiefland.
Yeah, and KPAC Chiefs have Harbor Beach this week, then Sandusky. Then the, well, Memphis.
So they'll be looking forward to that Memphis game for sure.
Yeah, and then you have Ubley, Marlette, Brown City, Emily City to end the end of season for KPEC.
Emily City slash Dryden.
Yes.
I'd say 1.5 is the over-under on victories for the rest of the season there.
Carroll had 189 rushing yards, 98 receiving yards. This may be off here. Actually, total yards, 287 total yards, 98 yards passing for Carroll. Rushing yards, 189 yards, 16 first downs to KPEC's 5.
Those numbers check out. Sound about right.
So, and KPEC, I don't know if I even know his first name or not. Montney, I want to get his name right. He was the quarterback, only one of two for passing. Had an interception. Rushing wise, Jay Cherry, number 44, 15 attempts, 63 yards. Bastion had 5 attempts, only 2 yards. So not much there. Total offense and total plays, 42 plays for KPEC. Total yards, 61 yards. Carroll Tiger defense held them in check there. So those are some of the stats we were able to cull together from the Greater Thumb East. That was a cross-conference game, by the way. Carroll is in the Greater Thumb West now. Yeah. Memphis Yellow Jackets, they got stung.
Oof.
By Ubley last night, and that's, well, that obviously was
54-0 was your final score in that game, and what can you really say? I'm going to say it was probably a whole lot of yards for Ubley and not very many for Memphis, and that's probably a good recap.
And a running clock.
Yes, and a running clock, yes.
And, you know, I mean, Memphis, they keep debating whether they want to go to 8-player or 11-player. You think, you know, that's been brought up a lot in the past because of the amount of, I mean, they're pretty good in other sports.
Well, we're going to bring it up again in 8-man conversation because Owen Gage and Caseville, we're going to talk about those teams. They had another tough night last night. We'll talk about that more. But a lot of teams going to 8-man. They're struggling with those numbers for a lot of reasons. But you're right, Eddie. I wouldn't be surprised if Memphis does make that move here at some point.
It's something to think about because look what Dryden did, joining forces with Emily City. And you're seeing some good positives out of that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, coming back, and we will talk about more of the Greater Thumb Conference as we pretty much cover the Greater Thumb East League pretty substantially there. We're going to talk about the Greater Thumb West. In fact, I'll have an interview with Greater Thumb West 2014 District Champion, League Champion also, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. Tough win against a tough Reese Rocket team despite only 18-0. Was a score.
And you edited that interview down to about 20 minutes, you said?
I tried to about 7 minutes.
Last week we had a 37-minute coach interview by Eddie Fury, the God Fury.
The God Fury.
Laying it up there. Hey, Eddie is to interviewing on Thumbtail Gator what Howard Stern is to interviewing on satellite radio, I swear.
Okay. We'll be right back here on Sportsline. Dave Frederick, Phil Nickel with Thumbtail Gator. I'm Eddie Fury of Sandlot Broadcasting and the whole broadcasting world, I guess. So. All right. We'll be back here on Sportsline, WMIC AM 660.
Kohler Oil and Propane, your number one fuel source provider. Proudly serving the Michigan Thumb area. Kohler Oil and Propane Services provide propane services to all types of customers, whether it's residential, commercial, and industrial, or agriculture cost-effective uses. The company's longevity and dependable supply contracts help assure an uninterrupted fuel supply. And with bulk deliveries, that's Kohler Oil and Propane. Call 1-800-572-2191 or on the website getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
It's orchard time. There's nothing better than fresh peaches and apples, cider and fresh donut fry cakes at Speaker Lone Oak Orchard. Have you tried Darlene's fresh fruit pies with buttery crust? It's the best pie in the area. Stop by, and while you're there, visit the Orchard Setting Gift Shop for the perfect gift ideas, Michigan-made products, garden decor, and more.
Hi, this is Ken at Speaker Orchard. Stop by and see Darlene and I. We're located on M19, midway between Peck and Yale.
Penny and Heidi and the staff of Liberty Lanes in Sandusky wish the area teams the best of luck in sports competition. Football time means the bowling season will soon be starting, and registration is going on now. There are openings on many of the leagues. For registration, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes. Liberty Liberty Lane serves all of your favorites 7 days a week. Mondays, it's 50 cents off on their famous wet burritos. And there are great fish specials every Friday evening. Liberty Lane's, West Park Sandusky, where pizza is their special. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860.
Last night, Lakers beat the Reese Rockets. I was on Thumb Tugger to Channel 1. I was at that game with Jonathan Bisher. 62 yards of offense allowed by the Laker defense. Six first downs for the game, proving the defensive power of the Lakers was on full display against the Reese offensive attack. They had some bright offense for the Reese Rockets. I had a chance to talk to the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers head coach Steve Berg to talk about that game. Lakers win 18-0. And with us, the head coach for the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, also the athletic director. Pretty busy guy, but he loves to coach football, that's for sure, from my coverage of you back in the Blue Water Area Conference days. And this has got to feel good for you, Coach. Since you've come here to the Lakers, not only as AD, but as head football coach, these players have responded. They were set up. It's kind of a little bit of a setup for you, but you had to continue this with your style play, and they responded. And in your years here so far, in the short time that you've been here, players have responded. This team has responded. The Laker fans have responded.
Yeah, I'm very proud of our boys.
Yeah.
You know, we set high expectations for them. They do an outstanding job. And the community, I love this community. My wife and I live here now, and we've all bought in, and we love being Lakers.
Well, let's talk about this game. The Reese Rockets, young head coach Cody Reif here, a former Reese Rocket player himself also, SPSU graduate and player, and they came in here. They were good in the first half. In fact, both teams, this was a battle in the trenches for both teams defensively. We saw almost a similar size teams here on the line, and me and Jonathan were saying, you got to give credit to your offensive line making those holes and getting that initial push. Your running backs had to take care of the rest, but man, some great breaking of tackles here by all your running backs.
Coach Reef has done a great job with those boys. They have some good ball players over there. We knew that coming in, that they were going to be much improved from a year ago. And watching them on film and just by battling against them, we knew it was going to be a struggle tonight. And we kind of shot ourselves in the foot at times as well. Left some points on the board. But I think our really the key to the whole thing, I think our defense played outstanding. And that's what really kept us in the game and ultimately for the win.
And I know as the offensive coach, you're the winner. But what do you see from the Reese Rockets that think, hey, look out for them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They got some dudes that can play, and they got some big boys, and they didn't quit. They have a couple linebackers right there that can really stick it, and so we knew that coming in, that's what the possibility they had, and they did, and I give them a ton of credit, and I think they're going to win a lot of football games.
Well, we got to give all the credit to you because you get that late touchdown, and all was 4th and 2. That was the second touchdown you made on a 4th down situation. Last one, a 4th and goal, after getting an offensive penalty. What was it, 4th and 14, Jonathan? The first touchdown and 4th and down.
13. It was a pass from Sears, the JT, and that little roll out to the right and that throwback pass. That was well-designed play there, for JT to just be able to walk in. And then you've seen that nice pass to Ryder there. He was able to walk in and hit. So a couple well-designed plays there for Sears to get a wide-open target.
Yep, we've worked all those play-action pass all year long, and it was they executed it very well. And it was exciting.
Yeah, who doesn't like to see passing plays?
Yeah,
and
here's the
thing about that: it's a yard after the catch. Also mm-hmm. breaking a couple tackles. Again, this Laker team has broken tackles. When you can break a tackle, you get that extra 3 yards after a gain of 3. That's 6 yards right there, and then you got 2 extra plays to try to convert.
Yeah, and our backs have done a great job. They're a little
trio of backs.
Well, they're undersized a little bit. Yeah. Our wings and our fullbacks have done outstanding. Job too, but we're young.
Yeah.
We got a really young squad. We're only bringing back a few seniors. We have quite a few sophomores. We have one freshman starting for us. So we're a young squad, and it was great for them to have to struggle tonight a little bit to battle through, and so that we can so that we can progress for the next week.
Right. You'll enjoy this for a couple days and then move on to the next focus, because you know Bad Axe won big against Vassar. A good bounce back win for them. Mm-hmm. That's another team. It's curious. Even though they lost big to Harbor Beach last week, still you can't overlook a Bad Axe at your team, because that's a lot of players coming back, an improved team also. Kind of similar to what you're going through right now. But I would say condition-wise, you said young players, but well-conditioned. Obviously, you see some good strength out there from your young players.
Yeah, they, you know, from a strength standpoint, you know, our kids worked really hard, and but also I think you know, these kids have been running the same system for the last 3 years now, and that's all they know. And they're getting really good at it, and they're being effective, and you know, that builds confidence.
You have anything there, John?
Well, that's what you said, running the same system. You know, you get these, you're starting out to get to the point where you got these kids that you had them a freshman inserting a new offense to becoming your juniors and seniors and your leaders. That makes a world of a difference, because now your up and coming freshmen have people that have been there and ran and said, hey, here's some little, you know, hints about what coach likes to do on this play and that play that might help you down the road. And then hopefully you'll like to see that, and then you can maybe expand your playbook a little bit more as you get close to that playoff run. You know, might pull a couple tricks out of the bag. You tend to see that. You know, I went to Ubley and we ran that wing T offense from when I was a little kid in third grade, and by the time you got to, you know, varsity football, it's like, okay, the basics are the same, but there's so many more options you could do that the fans don't realize in the stands, that this offense may look the same, but there's a lot of little nooks and crannies that are out there.
There is. And we, you know, I stress to the kids all the time, and even our coaches, when we're coaching the kids up, is that we got to perfect our craft.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. It doesn't matter, you know, if you have to down block, you have to reach block, you have to double team. We need to perfect our craft. And, you know, there's times, you know, times tonight our kids perfected the craft and really executed well. And then there were other times that, you know, we didn't, and Reese made some great plays. But it was a good football game. It was a good battle. And we're glad that we got the victory.
Okay, you can enjoy this. You got Bad Axe, Cass City, Carroll, USA. Not an easy run there, is it? Especially in the league play.
No. It's kind of a buzzsaw a little bit. But, you know, we don't look ahead. So we'll enjoy this tonight. And then our focus 100% after this will be on Bad Axe.
And obviously there were some things you have to fix. You did make the adjustments in the second half, but there's still things you got to work on. So
yeah, and, you know, and like I said, I think our defense played outstanding all night. I think we held them to 6 first downs for the whole game.
Yeah,
I think
6 first downs is 62 yards of total offense.
Yeah,
there, you know.
You
in
know,
my eyes, Zach Kretschmer played lights out in that outside linebacker defensive end type position. He did not let those Rockets get outside and use their speed. He forced them up there, and that's when you saw your big linebackers coming in and cleaning everything up.
Yep, and our coaches did a great job game planning too, getting the kids ready. And you know, I was really proud of the way we played defensively tonight.
Coach Steve Riberigo, the Elkton pitching Mayport Lakers with the win. They go 2-0 next week. They got Bad Axe. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. That was head coach Steve Riberigo on WMIC AM 660. Real quick with our legal ID.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air, this is AM 660 WMIC Sandusky.
By the way, Bad Axe winning big last night over Vassar, and that's who the Lakers will meet up. Bad Axe regrouping after that throttle by Harbor Beach in week one. Looking at the Lakers offense, we had mentioned that Jonathan Bischer did a good job. They just shared that ball up back there. You really can't, and they used a little bit of that double wing. They do some jet sweep plays, much like the Almont Raiders have used. So that's a little bit of the learning curve from the BWAC, you know, from Steve Berg, who was at the North Branch system also. There's another Wisner on the team, but number 44, they made 2 touchdowns on 4th and goal, guys. Very gutsy play. A little bit of a bootleg. Bryce Sears throwing it, the junior, by the way. And got a touchdown on 4th and goal. And then another one. And that was for 14 yards after a penalty, offensive penalty. So they were set back.
Pushed them back, yeah.
And then to close the game to get that extra 6 points with under 2 minutes to go, use that same play, JT Warren getting the tight end pass. He did some great blocking on the line. It all starts at the line. You can see what Sandusky did for the line.
Yep.
We're seeing what the Lakers do in the single wing, double wing, jet sweep plays and all that.
Yeah.
Disguising the ball very well.
A lot of that is really filtering down, like you said, a lot of that single wing play running back by committee. And we're seeing a lot of RPO, a lot of run pass option being infiltrated into the offenses, which is interesting to see.
And nobody went over 100 yards. Just sharing the ball. 75 yards for Dubes, number one. I'll get his first name here. Mason Dubes. I remember some other Dubes from the past. And 65 yards from Bowles, who was bowling through. He had runs of 2, 4, 4, 2, 4, 5, 5, 6. Well, broken tackles, I was saying. You break a tackle, you're going to gain that extra 2, 3 yards there.
And that makes a total of 5.
Well done.
Are you making fun of my addition?
That's a callback from the interview, if anybody
are you
pleases.
Making
thank
fun
you very
of my
much. That was great.
Oh,
but also, you know, too, Eddie, this sets up next week. Laker at Bad Axe is going to be a dandy, I think. Two pretty good ball clubs. Like you mentioned, Bad Axe put up 66 points last night. And granted, it was against Vassar. But that week three game, Laker at Bad Axe, is going to be a big one in the West.
But to talk about, you know, only 62 yards of offense. Reese Rockets had their problems. I mean, they moved the ball a few times, but they lost a lot of yards. Self-inflicted offensive penalties do not help you.
Yep.
That can just end a drive. And one of those drives for Lakers, I go back to that, they were 3rd and 17. A big screen pass. They got 18 yards, wow. And that was when it was 12-0 that led to the score. Both teams had a turnover. Lakers scored on the first turnover. In fact, it was only 6-0. Before the half there. So, you know.
You got a team like Reese playing a pretty good ball club like Laker. You can't afford those. I mean, you almost have to play flawless football to knock off those big teams. And
I've seen these variety of running backs. And this just goes with Sandusky also, but they have big plays. You're seeing 7 yards, a 9-yard carry, a 4-yard carry, a 5-yard carry, all different runners here. And that's going to lead to first downs. Yeah. Three times, 12 yards, you know. According to my edition.
Why are we bringing so much math in this morning?
I'm just saying the chunk of yardage by sharing that ball out there.
Yes.
It's going to get your first downs, and you keep the ball. So 18-0 for the win for the Lakers. And then we talked about Bad Axe. That's who the Lakers will meet. And we'll talk about Cass City USA coming up next after our break here at the top of the hour. Keeping it here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. That is Dave Frederick, Michigan State Spartan fan. And Michigan State is playing Western Michigan, not Middle Tennessee like Michigan played last year.
I thought
year.
That was a goof. I really thought that you were just trying to, you were trolling us.
See
there.
See if people are awake.
Yeah.
Army taking on Michigan. That's going to be something to watch. A
right
triple
here at
option.
Noon. Whoa, right man. Here at noon, we might have to find a watering hole to take
I'm
one
I'm going to have
from.
To take a radio on the golf course.
I'm taking a nap, man.
Hey, now.
Best answer yet.
All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Denny King, the King of Cars from Decker, Michigan. For the last 24 years, I've been excited to put people into new vehicles, used vehicles, and make their purchase as easy as possible. I'm a certified new and used car salesperson, plus I'm the internet sales manager here at Moore Motors. I really enjoy putting people into the vehicle that they want or figuring out what vehicle they want with them and getting them the best deal possible and making them smile. The thing I like about working here at Moore Motors is we are transparent for as far as pricing goes, and there's no games and gimmicks. We're not trying to bring people in with a $99 lease that you've got to jump through hoops to qualify for. The most satisfaction I get is when a customer tells me that this was the easiest car purchase that they've ever had. Our whole job is to make you completely satisfied, so you'll tell everybody to come on in to Moore Motors and deal with Denny King or deal with one of the other sales staff. So if you're looking for a new Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram, come see me, Denny the King of Cars, at Moore Motor Sales in Carroll, or visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com. You really do get more here at Moore Motors in Carroll.
When you work outside, when you play outside, you need a tough, durable smartphone. Check out the Cat S48C. Built with the same ruggedness of Cat equipment, this smartphone is waterproof, withstands drops in dust, screen breakage, and has long battery life. This September, Thumb Cellular has a great deal for you. Choose a Cat S48C and receive a free Cat power bank at $65 value while supplies last. Plus, get a free month of service. And for the Samsung fans, save $100 on a Galaxy S9 Plus or Galaxy Note 9 while supplies last. last. Plus, a free month of service, too. In fact, anybody who upgrades their phone, adds a line, or switches to Thumb Cellular this September will get a free month of service. So go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more details or visit their offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. They have the knowledge and experience to help you save. Switch to Thumb Cellular and find out why they're the talk of the Thumb. Deals are valid through September 30th, 2019. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Darren McCarty, four-time Stanley Cup champion with your Detroit Red Wings, and you're listening to Eddie Fury and Dave Frederick, your hosts of Sportsline, WMIC AM 660. Check out my next Slapstick Comedy Tour on Facebook with Darren McCarty Slapstick Comedy Tour. Also, Instagram, Grind Time Podcast, and Twitter, Grind Time DMAC25. Listen, or I will beat you to a pulp. Well, not really.
Darren McCarty there, and that was before Phil Nickel decided to join the show, by the way.
We got to get a hold of Darren McCarty and have him do a God Fury.
That's right. Amend that whole thing.
Sweet,
I don't care if you add me. Just add the God Fury moniker.
Yeah, that'd be
in
scary
there.
Having Darren McCarty do that.
This will never end. Just like the show wouldn't last week.
You know, I've gotten lots of positive and not so positive feedback about that. So there you go.
Not so positive?
Well, okay. I mean, people said some of the interviews were a little long-winded, I heard.
According to you. Okay. Cass City defeats USA in a low-scoring affair. USA losing the oblate that we had covered on Thumb Tugger in week one, 28-6. But USA tried to make a surge, losing 13-8. They were right there, but Cass City defense over. USA able to hold them. Red Hawks now move to 1-1 with that 13-8 win. So good job by Cass City.
Cass City, they had a tough week one, but I think Cass City's still the team, one of the teams to beat in that West, and they got some big games coming up, and they're glad to get that win and keep moving forward.
A slugfest for Cass City against USA, as it always is. Hayden Horn led the Red Hawks 140 yards, 16 carries, one touchdown. Noah Zaleski led the Cass City defense, 9 tackles. Coach Cothrell said his team moved the ball well, but they have some areas to work on before the next game. This is from the Huron Daily Tribune sports coverage, written by the new sports writer, I hope I say his name right, Eric Rutter, the new Tribune sports writer for the Huron Daily Tribune. Cover that game. USA head coach Josh Hahn said it's a difficult early season schedule for USA, and it is. And you're hoping to get maybe one or two wins within the first four games and maybe even it up 2-2. They need to do that pretty quick right now. They're in the hole right now at 0-2 against two tough teams, though. You're playing Ubley, and now Cass City. Now I think it's still going to be tough. They got Carroll, Bad X, and now we're seeing some good signs from Reese, but then they got Lakers, Harbor Beach. That is the toughest schedule I have seen right now from any Greater Thumb Conference team, I believe. The USA
two losses,
Patriots.
Two
right.
Wins, four. That's four games.
Yeah, 2 + 2 equals
more.
Four. USA's got definitely a tough row to hoe, and they faced some early competition, and they're going to continue to face competition. Don't sleep on Caro. They're much improved. Bad Axe is much improved. They're going to struggle. USA's going to struggle to get to 4 or 5 wins, so if they win 2 and then maybe 3, they'd get to 5.
Phil's catching it too.
Okay,
now.
You're catching it. Walker Foley had 12 carries for the USA Patriots, 12 carries for 81 yards. I saw him last week run a 92-yard touchdown pass, by the way, down the left sideline at Ubley. 81 yards for Walker Foley. Connor Ghetto held 14 carries of 63 yards. We thought he would be a player to watch, but obviously every team is going to be watching him and try to contain him. He still got 14 carries for 63 yards. Braylon Ballard registered 8 carries for 26 yards and a touchdown, the lone touchdown for the USA Patriots, which was late in that game also. They couldn't make that comeback, but they kept it tight. So I think despite the loss, starting to see some good signs, but the schedule, they have Carroll, Bad Axe, Reese, Lakers, Harbor Beach, and then Vassar Brown City.
Ooh. I don't see many they're going to struggle to, well, they're already in an 0-2 hole. They're going to struggle to try to get to that 6-win mark. I don't see it, even though it seems like they're a quality squad, but
yes.
Just tougher competition out there this year in that Greater Thumb Conference.
And the numbers game. You got to watch out for the numbers game and how many players you have in your sideline also. It's hard to substitute when a lot of these players, as they all are in the Greater Thumb Conference, playing both sides of the ball also.
That gets tough late in the third and fourth quarter. You're starting to suck a little air when you've been playing, especially in linemen, you know, going both ways. That's a tough night.
And then Cass City in week 3 will have the Marlette Red Raiders followed by the Lakers, Vassar, Bad Axe, Carroll, Reese, and Ubley. That is a gauntlet for Cass City at the end of the season also. Now, if you can get this win against Marlette, then I would say the Greater Thumb West League showdown, and then it could be possibly run through Carroll or Reese also. You know, this is going to be one of the toughest Greater Thumb West
it is.
Seasons.
It's going to be a dandy of a season this year, and like I said, anybody can probably beat anybody on any given night in that West, and it's going to be fun to see.
All right. Another cliche.
Just to hit that. We need a bell in here for the cliche right. marker.
Where's your bell, Eddie?
Where is the bell? Yeah.
There you go. Cliche.
There.
Okay. Cass City, by the way, were the Greater Thumb West League champions. They're first, I believe, in school history.
That is correct.
They lost to New Lothrop 44-20 last year. Lakers lost to New Lothrop last year. And by the way, New Lothrop were the Division 7 state champions. So
yeah.
About 60 years in a row. They've been that's quite a program over there.
It really is.
Nothing to frown upon losing to the state champions. So okay, and the rest of the Greater Thumb West, we talked about KPEC, Carroll. That was a cross-conference game also. Vassar just getting slaughtered by Bad Axe. I hate to say it like that, but man, 66 points put up by the Bad Axe Hatchets over the Vassar Vulcans.
How many points total in that game, Eddie? more math test.
Yeah. Math.
Help me out with that. Help me out
just 80, Eddie. Just 80. Yeah.
Help me out with that.
That's the God-fearing math.
80, yes.
80.
And Hatchets earning their first win of the 2019 season, chopping down Vassar in week two, 66-14. Mm-hmm.
Catch that, Hatchets. And
I always use that. Usually, I overuse it. In fact, so does the media. So, head coach Durr said that Jack Clancy, who was kind of stung last week, had to be taken out of the game. One of the players, kind of lean on. He's one of your top players.
Right.
Has been. Just a good win for Bad Axe to bounce back after that big, substantial loss to Harbor Beach in week one.
So everybody loses to Harbor Beach, so there you go. So nothing to be ashamed of.
Feel bad about there.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well, everybody wants to beat them, though.
They did. Well, everybody,
but not many have.
Like Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Some key games coming up in the Greater Thumb Wild West is what I call it. Carroll USA. That's going to be a decent game there. Bad Axe and Lakers. That's a good head scratcher there.
Yeah.
Cass City and Marlette, Reese and Vassar. Someone's going to come out on top of that and feel pretty good. Reese falls to 1-1 after their loss to the Lakers. They open up the win against Marlette. Carroll right now is 1-1 when they beat KPEC, and Bad Axe 1-1. Lakers are 2-0. Cass City 1-1, week one loss. USA is 0-2, and Vassar 0-2. So how's my math on that one?
That sounds like it's good. I mean, it's a lot of ones and zeros and twos, but.
And the standings there that actually in the Greater Thumb East again, can we recap that?
The West, I'm sorry.
The East.
Yeah. Checking my stuff here.
We've got our East here somewhere. Yeah.
Somewhere. There it is.
East, West, North, West.
East, West, the Directional League. Harbor Beach up on top. They're 2-0. Ubley 2-0. Sandusky's 1-1, as is Brown City after their whipping last night. Marlette's 0-2. Memphis 0-2. KPEC 0-2, and really, I mean, already this early in the season, those teams have pretty much made their break of the top three, and then the rest of the league still looking for a win there. But those top three, it's going to be fun.
All right, there you go. The Greater Thumb Conference covered the East and the West. Now we head into the Blue Water Area Conference. Dave Frederick, Phil Nickel, I'm Eddie Fury for Sportsline on WMIC.
Are you looking to improve your health and get your body in peak performance? You need to visit the health store in Sandusky. You'll find the area's best selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, essential oils, nutritional supplements, and more. The health store now carries a wide variety of CBD oil products from brands you can trust. The health store is located on M46 in Sandusky. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 10 to 1. Give them a call at 810-648-3637.
Nature isn't the only force that can leave its mark, especially when you have a tractor built to help make your property your own. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done the way it should be done. Dig, mow, haul, and comfortably maneuver in tight spaces. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. The BX series, America's best-selling subcompact tractor. Kubota, shape your world.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental, Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
The staff of Knox Disposal in Brown City is proud to sponsor local sports programs. Knox Disposal is a full-service waste disposal company specializing in curbside residential pickup, commercial dumpsters, and residential dumpster services. Knox Disposal has been in business since 1963, providing affordable service to their customers. Knox Disposal also offers their customers one free large item pickup per year, such as a couch or non-Freon appliance. They service a wide region from south of Yale to north of Palms and Lakeshore west through Kingston. Knox Disposal is a family business serving the area for three generations and offers curbside, drop-off, and dumpsters. Check out their service area, pricing, and all other information online at knoxdisposal.com and sign up for online statements and bill pay. Call 810-346-3177 today.
Welcome back to Sportsline WMIC AM 660. Eddie Furyville along with Phil Nickel of Thumb Chugger Sports. Just like I am, but I am mainly saying that broadcasting now.
Crossover.
Yes, crossover. And I want to thank Dave Frederick for wanting to make this happen, by the way. This was his baby here. He had to take over the show, and so far, so good. As long as we're having fun, that's a good thing. And we're trying to do our best to give you extra bonus coverage. Helps when you're the program director.
I feel like he plays this music. My horse is parked out back, you know.
Yeah. I'm not surprised he didn't ride into a Clydesdale here. So.
Jeez.
All right, recap Blue Water Area Conference scores. And before we hit our coverage, with the final score for you to mention with Croswell, because we're going to lead right into.
Talking with Croswell's football coach.
Okay, go ahead.
What do we got going here? All right, well, I had the pleasure of doing that Croswell-Lexington hosting Yale game last night. It was some the opening night of the BWAC, some red-hot BWAC-tion going. BWAC-tion, that is correct. We ended up 18-3 was our final. Other BWAC scores I have here. Let's see, Richmond 26, Algonac 7.
Talk about that. I got some stats on him.
Elmont 56, Emily City 7. North Branch 34, Armada 6. Interesting night.
Yeah.
And let's see.
For them.
Yeah, I know. So Richmond, Elmont, North Branch, all doing what we expected. The Croswell Lexington Yale game, I didn't know what to expect coming into this one.
First couple games already for the Elmont Raiders, over 100 plus points.
Wow. There you go. More math. More Eddie Fury math going on.
But
there.
A bounce back win for the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. Phil Nickel and
yes.
Mike Smith were both at that game. The rivalry. It was a trophy game. It was at Croswell. A lot of people showed up, and I think whenever you come to Croswell, the air is in favor of the Pioneers.
It's that sweet smell of money is what I've always been told. Yeah, it's a sweet smell of money. So, yeah, the Croswell Lexington Pioneers coming off the week one loss to the St. Clair Saints. Yale coming in off a week one win from against Madison Heights Lamphere. Both those teams play in the MAC conference in respective divisions. The game started off with a bang. Vincent Scarmazzino, the name of the night for the Croswell Lex Pioneers, with the interception on the first play from scrimmage, and then on the first offensive play for Croswell Lexington, they ran the good old hook and lateral.
Hey.
So that was definitely fun to see. So Joey Knoll threw it out there. I think it was to Isaac Lerma, who lateraled it back to Vincent Scarmazzino, who took it to the house for the 59-yard touchdown. We were off and running. They scored with 10:30 left in the first quarter. The extra point attempt was no good. A lot of back-and-forth action. Let me just talk about the defense for a minute here for Croswell Lexington. The defense held stout all night. You had Sergeant was big for them. Scarmazzino was huge on defense. Zach Sergeant, that is. They're a defensive line.
How long has he
been
on that team, man?
You know, that's one of those things, and Zach Sergeant's actually still a junior.
He's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, yep. He's already a fifth-year senior. Being
red-shirted in his
freshman
year.
That's some Eddie Fury math right there.
Yeah.
So, like I said, back and forth, we did have another score with 10:58 left to go in the first half for Croswell Lexington. That was on a 10-yard Isaac Lerma run. The extra point was no good. There were a couple fumbles, and actually Yale drove it down and fumbled it right on the goal line, and Croslex recovered. So they literally fumbled the ball on the 6-inch line and didn't get in. That was the best opportunity they had of the night. Another fumble, and then, of course, Yale kicked a field goal. So they drove down, too. They were on the 5-yard line. It was 4th and goal from the 5. It was late in the third quarter, 8:10 left in the third quarter. They decided just to put points up on the board and kick the field goal, which made it 12-3. There was another interception by number 5 for Croswell Lexington, Ben Davis. Late in the game, they drove down with a 1-yard Joey Knoll quarterback sneak to put this game away. Made it 18-3. Extra point was no good. That was 6:35 left in the fourth quarter. Some quick stats. Vincent Scarmazzino, 19 carries for 137 yards. These are unofficial.
How many Scarmazzinos are on that team?
Yeah, I know. We've been calling that name for a long time.
Was there a Paul last year?
Paul. Yep. There was a couple Scarmazzinos. So 19 for 137. He also had that one catch for 59 yards and a touchdown. Joey Noll, the quarterback, had him for about 100 yards passing on 5 completions, 10 rushes for 26 yards for Joey Noll, including a touchdown. Ben Davis had one carry for 15 yards. Isaac Lerma, he had 4 carries for 26, including a touchdown for the Pioneers. And Ian Butler, 5 carries for 25 yards late in the game. Lots of punts in this game. Yale punted 5 times. Croswell Lexington punted 3 times. A ton of penalties. Probably one of the most penalized games I've ever done. Seemed like every other play there was a flag. Lots of fumbles. Croswell Lexington had lost 2 fumbles. Yale lost 1 fumble. Each team had an interception for their respective defenses. As far as the offense for Yale, not much doing. I had about roughly 20 or 30 yards for Bowerson rushing. They held Yale to probably under 100 yards of total offense. It was just total domination by that Yale defense. By the Croswell Lexington defense, check that. Next week, Croswell Lexington goes to Emily City. They're hosting Emily City, I believe, or goes to.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, they play Emily City. Let's just say that. And Yale is going to play North Branch this week. So both teams smarting, sitting now at 1-1. It was a defensive battle. The track got a little wet near the end. We saw some cutbacks and some slipping and sliding, falling. Your final score, 18-3. Croswell Lexington bringing that trophy home.
And a fun fact to know and love, my friend's son is the kicker for Croslex. He's got quite a leg and kicked that field goal. He's also a soccer player for the Pioneers. And Christian Alexander put the points on the board for the Bulldogs. And he had those 3 extra points last week to help him get the win over Madison. Those 3 points are very key.
Which was huge because I talked about that in the pregame show. They won that game 21-20 against Madison Heights, Lamphere. And that was on the extra points made all the difference. Lamphere decided they scored late, decided to go for 2 and failed. And that was the difference in the game, was those extra points.
So sometimes those kickers earned their big money.
Yeah, and by the way, that is at Emily City. Very good. Croswell will be
Thank
on the
you
road.
For looking that up. I just had the Michigan High School stats here, so they don't say where they play. They just say who they play.
You're actually going to play that game out in the field down at the corner of Dryden and M53 because it's Emily City / Dryden game. So that's
great.
A cool.
And,
just down the middle of the field, then let's go out there and play.
Yeah, that's
it's
great.
A home game for the Yale Bulldogs hosting the North Branch Broncos in week 3, so that's a league game.
Thank you for cleaning that up for me, Eddie. I appreciate it.
Now, speaking of the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, nice bounce back win after losing and smarting against St. Clair. It was a good bounce back win. It was an important win because this is the Blue Water Area Conference. I would say 4 teams right now in contention for the league title.
You are correct. You've got Richmond, you've got Elmont, you've got North Branch, and you have the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. Any of those 4 teams are going to be right there. All 4 should probably make the playoffs, barring something drastic. But once again, the BWAC, the Blue Water Area Conference, they tend to be a lot of cannibalization of each other for the regular season records because there's so many quality programs every year.
Up next, we do have head coach Grunman of the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, Dave Frederick. Did an interview with him this morning?
Yep, this morning, bright and early.
All right, we'll be right back with that. You're listening to Sports Line on WMIC AM 660.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
This is Carrie Regantine, administrator at Autumnwood of Deckerville. We are proud to announce that Autumnwood has been recognized as a 2019 Silver Achievement and Quality Award recipient by the American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living. The award is the second of 3 distinctions possible through the program, which recognizes providers across the nation that have demonstrated their dedication to improving quality of care for residents and patients in long-term and post-acute care.
Our facility has worked hard to provide excellent care and service to our local community. Our success is a direct reflection of the hard work and dedication that our employees put in each and every day. If you would like more information about Automotive Deckerville, call Sarah Albright at 810-376-2145, 810-376-2145, to set up a tour.
Riding their horses with the Pioneers. Dave Frederick here, back with Sportsline.
Eddie doing some karaoke there. I got the lyrics up on the screen. He's going to start busting out in song there.
I think this is a country song.
I've never been led into this song, so I guess there's always that now.
The longest number one hottest song before Billie Eilish took him down. So
Billie Eilish does to my ears what a fumble does to my eyes.
Hello.
And we're back on Sportsline, WMIC 660 AM, having more fun than we probably should here today. Phil Nickel, Eddie the God Fury, and Dave Frederick here along with you folks. I bet you we're going to the top of the hour. We had our bets, and looks like we're going for 2 hours today.
Still got eight-player football.
I know. We haven't even touched that yet, but got to mention that last break. Phil and I were getting our information around together, and Eddie had his feet up, shining up his golfing putter.
Yes.
He's getting ready for the big afternoon.
Yeah, the stag event here on
event
Shores.
At the, what's that called, the putting for pause?
His stag event's actually at the putt for pause. This is
right.
Don't let him fool you.
It's a six
Eddie made a wrong turn at the lake, and he went right instead of left.
It's a six-man scramble.
Scramble putt golf.
And I'll make a shout out to the Fury family.
Yes.
Everybody knows a real name if you really knew me. Big shout out to my Uncle Wally, my Uncle Danny, my brother Benjamin, my father Jim. Let me see, there's one. There's me, so there's one. Oh, and my cousin Derek, I believe, are all going to be in the six-man scramble. So
there you go, scramble today. And
so what's your favorite hole in putt-putt?
What, in this course?
No, in putt-putt, just, you know, playing putt-putt.
The clown that Adam Sandler was fighting.
I appreciate the windmill, but the clown is
a good windmill.
It reminded me of It, which is out right now at the Firebird Theater, by the way.
Why are we promoting so many things?
Okay. That's what we do in Sportsline. Okay.
That's right.
So
back to BWAC. Talked with Coach Garrett Grundman this morning. He must have been doing a lot of hollering, Phil. He had hardly any voice this morning, so bear with us on that interview. But appreciate Coach Grundman's time this morning talking about his win over Yale. 2-1. Talking with Croslex football coach Garrett Grundman. And Coach, you guys picked up a win over rival Yale Friday night. Congratulations on the win, and just talk about the game, how things went, and I don't know if you had any rain over there in Croslex, but I know we had some in Brown City. Big win, 18-3 over the Bulldogs.
Well, it was a defensive battle, there's no doubt. You know, obviously, when you get an 18-3 game, the defense performed very well. We put them in some tough situations. They were in our red zone twice with penalties and a couple of turnovers, and we held them to a field goal. And then I think third or fourth down, they fumbled at the 2-yard line, and we were able to recover it. But, you know, anytime you can get in a situation where your defense can play as well as they did last night, you know, we're going to be pretty happy going forward.
And then talk about your scoring, 18 points on the board, bouncing back from a tough loss to St. Clair. Can you mention the kids that scored and maybe some overall yardage for your club?
We ended up rushing for 275 yards and passing for about 60. It did start raining. It really didn't prevent us from throwing the ball. It's just we saw a lot of success running it. The offensive line did a pretty good job. I think we had about 385 yards rushing or 285 yards rushing, and Vincent Scarmazzino had a great game rushing for about 185. So Joey Noel punched one in the fourth quarter with a quarterback sneak from 1 yard out. And then we had a hook and ladder play in the first quarter and a jet sweep with Isaac Lerma in the second quarter were our scores.
And that hook and ladder is quite a famous play for Croswell. I can recall Jason Vandermas loved to run that, and you've run it a few times. Pretty exciting play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can execute on that, it's either a six-yard gain, or if we fumble, or if it's a score, you know. Either way, something's going to happen, and we know going into it that it was one of those where we had an opportunity to execute early with it, and the kids did a great job.
And then did you come out of that game pretty healthy, or how you doing with injuries?
Health-wise, yeah. I mean, anytime you play a game of football, you're going to be a little banged up. But, relatively healthy. We did lose a receiver to a shoulder injury. But, we're hoping that he can come back and be effective in the near future. But relatively healthy, yes.
And then looking ahead to next week, what do you have coming up? I know we've got your game in 2 weeks with Richmond, but you got one before then.
Yeah, we play Imlay City at Imlay City next week. Watching film on them already, they had an Elmont game last night, and Elmont beat them pretty good, so 57-7. Watching film, they run a lot of full house wing T stuff that, we need to learn to defend. And anytime you play a team at their place, you're looking to execute and play good football. Hopefully we can go out there and do our job and play good football.
And kind of a new wrinkle, Imlay City Co-op and with Dryden. So maybe number-wise, a few more kids out for that ball club, but something else to think about as well with a few more extra players from that Dryden school.
Yeah, absolutely. Imlay City having them, combined with Dryden, we just don't know what to expect. So, we're going to go in there and plan as usual, like we do with every opponent. And do our best to limit their offensive plays and execute on our offensive side of the ball and play good football.
Okay, I've been talking to Croslex, Coach Garrett Grundman, and Coach, take care of your voice, and happy for you guys to get your win. And I'll be talking to you again in the coming weeks. And like I say, we'll be over in Croswell week 4. Our Richmond comes in there. That'll be a big BWAC contest. And until then, good luck and stay healthy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'll be back after these words.
Welcome back to Sportsline WMIC AM 660. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Dave Frederick and Phil Nikua from Tugger Sports. Richmond over Algonac 26-7. Closer score. We know Algonac, in the last year or so, they've been on, after that great 3-year run.
They had an amazing run there for about 3 seasons, and they went to conference titles every year for 3 straight years into BWAC, and a little bit down, but they'll be back.
Derek Snyder got a touchdown last night, formerly of the Deckerville Eagles, who we will be talking about. Derek Snyder with a 56-yard run to score the first touchdown. No scoring in the first quarter. Second quarter, that was the first one with a 56-yard TD run, 7-0. Noah Montanare, 7-yard run with 13-0. Nathan Stringer for the Algonac Muskrats, 70-yard pass from Andrew Cope. Alyssa Seaman, she's back as a kicker.
As the kicker, yes.
And she plays soccer.
11-player, not 11-man football.
That's right, 13-7. Then Richmond with 2 straight touchdowns. Zachary Shorman, 20-yard pass from Brandon Shorman. Are they brothers? 20-7. Noah Montanari with a 51-yard touchdown run. 26-7, the final score.
You got 20 seconds, Eddie. Hurry up.
I do?
Yeah, I'm going to go to 8-man.
And we have
there you go.
50 total plays, 329 total yards, 288 total rushing yards for the Richmond Blue Devils. And the loss for the Algonac Muskrats, they were able to musk up about 226 total yards, 57 total plays. They had 130 yards passing, rushing yards 96, and the touchdown by Nathan Stringer of Algonac with that pass to Andrew Cope.
And they left that game saying rats. You just said musk, so I had to finish that for you.
God, you devil, they said once they left that game.
The Richmond Blue Devils continue to possess the BWAC right now. Looking at the rest of the BWAC, North Branch winning a good one there. Had a tough battle, though.
Yeah, rode off into the sunset with a nice win, though.
34-6 over Armada for North Branch there.
The Broncos.
There you go.
For the BWAC.
Yeah. We need that bell right now.
That's right.
North Branch up next for them. They are in play for the Blue Water Area Conference title. They were 8-3 last year. They will have Yale.
I'm putting Phil in charge of the bell.
Up next. So, North Branch big showdown against Almont that we will be covering in week 4. You guys will probably will, or me. That's a big showdown after Yale, but they got to get through Yale first. And they did have a tough game against Armada.
For sure. And Yale, they're going to be looking to bounce back after that sting of that Croswell-Lexington Pioneer defense. Now they face North Branch. Doesn't get any easier for Yale. The BWAC is always great. We get a lot of great listeners. It's fun. It's good football.
If Yale loses that game, they're going to be in the doghouse because they can't afford having these league losses.
The Almont Raiders, by the way, defeated Emily City / Dryden Spartan Cardinals. 56-7 was the final score. It was 35-0 at the half for the Almont Raiders. A trio of Almont Raiders, of course, that we remember. Jack Pauper in there, Mike Lugeri. Kobe Chapman, the quarterback. The receiver. A 5-yard pass from Josh Hellebuck.
Hellebuck, yes.
Mason Smith is one of the leading rushers now, by the way. So we're seeing new backs coming into the system, and the I guess you could say the seniors are taking a little bit of a backseat because that's what they seem to do when they bring up these young running backs.
Next man up is what they do, right. And they do it very well. And good job on those pronunciations, Eddie. Just don't ask Eddie to say Onekama.
Our years of covering, I know how to say Antanaga now.
He does know Antanaga.
Can
we got
you
him
spell
there.
It,
386 total yards for the Almont Raiders, 48 passing yards, just enough. 338 yards rushing yards for the Almont Raiders. They held total yardage against Emily City, 76 yards on defense.
Phil's got to take that bell for a test drive, man. Smash that thing.
Here we go. At the end of the day, we should move on to 8-player football.
Attaboy.
All right,
Dan.
Next game for the Almont Raiders in week 3.
He keeps going. You tell him going to 8, man. He keeps on going to BWAC.
Algonac Muskrats up against the Almont Raiders next.
How about those Eagles?
We'll talk about those Decker Row Eagles coming up next. 8-player football here on Sportsline.
Pull his plug.
Tacklers of the to-do list, run with us on a John Deere Z700 Series Z-Track mower. Because when you've got acres of grass to mow, you've probably got about a million and one other jobs to handle too. Clean the shed, paint the fence, lay gravel, then lay down at the end of the day and wake up to a whole new list of jobs tomorrow. Basically, you don't have the luxury of spending half the day mowing. That's why the Z700 Series is built to get the job done fast. No, seriously fast. Its high-capacity Pro Mower deck lets you mow at speeds of up to 10 miles per hour. And with a fully adjustable seat and foot platform, your hard work might not feel so hard after all. So what are you waiting for? That grass isn't gonna cut itself. It's time to hit the ground mowing, because the day is a whole lot shorter than your to-do list. Nothing runs like a deer. Run with us.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Carroll, Mad Ex, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Reese, and Saginaw.
Welcome back to Sportsline. On to 8-player football, the NCTL red, white, and blue divisions. Toughest division, blue division, and then there's Morris, who got the big win over Mayville. And Mayville showing some game. I think they're a contender in the blue division for sure. They still have to meet Deckerville later on in the season. Good showing, but they lose by a touchdown.
That's a good ball game. Mayville much improved. We've been saying at the start of the season. And, of course, the Deckerville Eagles are the Deckerville Eagles. They crushed Genesee last night, 54-12.
By the way, they got the film on them the day before.
Yeah, a little bit of a gamesmanship going on there.
We've been talking about film gate for a while here, yes.
And then the Peck Pirates rolled to another big win, 46-0. That was their home opener. They rolled past the Bay City All Saints. And, of course, we mentioned that Kingston game over Carsonville Port Sanic Thursday night, 50-0 for Kingston. Then we're going to, if we have time, if anybody's gone so long on the BWAC, we're going to talk a little bit about the consolidation maybe of Owen Gage, Caseville, my proposal. But oh, North Huron picks up the win over Owen Gage, 36-0. Owen Gage, the game was called again in the third quarter this time due to injuries.
That was Paul Adams who covered that game from the Huron County View, sending that info.
Yes. And then Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart, 70 points. They scored on Burton Atherton. They win 70-20, and they'll be in Deckerville next week. That is Sacred Heart. Also, New Haven Merritt, 52, Ashley 30. Flint International beat Akron Fairgrove 74-0, but the game was at Burton Atherton.
Huh. Yeah, because that's the field that's available, I guess.
Ah.
I don't know if they have a field or not.
And Caseville at Burton Medicine is today.
Right. For Morris against Mayville, that was one of the key. That was on the road for Mayville. They had to go to Morris to play that one. A good cross-conference game. Morris came out top, though. It was 14-12. 12 points scored. A comeback of a sorts for the Mayville Wildcats. Goldie Hahn, you needed her for the Wildcats. It was 12-14 at that point, but then 6 points, the only score in the fourth quarter, and that was by Morris. Morris total yards, 299 yards. Mayville, 347 yards.
Wow, so Mayville outgained him and didn't come up on the winning end there.
Probably goal line stands there by Morris. And Austin Middleton showing he is probably one of the best players in eight-player football. 235 yards rushing on 17 carries. Had a touchdown reception-wise. He's also the quarterback. Austin Middleton, 7 of 16, 56 yards, one touchdown. And that Stephen Gilbert was the leading receiver with 3 receptions for 28 yards. So we're seeing a mix of offense here from Mayville.
Mayville's much improved this year. And with those numbers, they're going to be scary to face. And I think they're going to be front runners there to go make a deep playoff run.
Well, the Deckerville Eagles is the team to beat in the Blue Division. No doubts about it. Pack Pirates did well in week two also. That's a game further down the road for the Deckerville Eagles, as well as Kingston, who lost pretty big to Morris.
Yep.
But I think Mayville, Deckerville, and Peck right now are in the mix.
I think those are your horses in the NCTL. And mark my words again this year, and I said it last year, I firmly believe you will see an NCTL team in one of the state finals between the two divisions and eight-player.
Morris is the defending Division I state champions in eight-player football. Do you have something?
Yeah, they that Deckerville game last night, they stuck 46 points on the board by halftime, and pretty dominating performance by the Eagles in their home game there last night. And Coach Brown is pretty happy about the way that they all played. I spoke with Coach Brown earlier this morning, talked about his win, and then also coming up they had a big battle with Sacred Heart last year, and we're looking forward to hosting them on their home turf. I believe it's game two of 4 straight home games for Deckerville. And so they're looking forward to having that game, and I think we're ready to go with Coach Brown's interview.
All right, talking to Deckerville football coach Bill Brown, and Coach, congratulations on your win over Genesee last night. Ball club off to a nice start. Just talk about your team a little bit and your win last night.
Just a great team win. Everybody played, everybody contributed. We had 4 different running backs score. And quarterbacks, of course, also were in on that. Offensive line played great. We had over, I think we were right around, a little under 400 total yards offense. And great execution in the first half. The score was 46-6 at halftime. So really happy with that execution. And defensively, we were able to hold Genesee under 100 yards total offense. So, real happy with the performance. Played a great game, and we just go on to the next game.
And did you come out of the game pretty healthy, all right, and everybody in good shape?
Yep,
all right. And then you started the year with Ashley, kind of a weird thing, just one quarter of football. I don't talk about that a whole lot, but that was a 28-0 win. And so you're off to a 2-0 start, and Mount Pleasant coming up at your place, a game that we'll have on 92.5. Just talk about that upcoming game and your preparations for that ball game.
Yeah, they're a very good program over there. We had a great game with them last year. Probably was our turning point in our season last year. Played very well against them in the fourth quarter, but ended up losing the game in Mount Pleasant. They have some great talent, well coached. We're going to have a great week of preparation and be another home game, so we're looking forward to that also. So I'm very tough opponent, but, you know, last year was a tough game for us. So and we know that going in, and we're going to work pretty hard this week to make sure that we don't get a loss from them this year.
Yeah, first chance to talk with you this season. Can you talk about your offense a little bit, of who's running the show for you, and some linemen, running backs, that sort of thing, and also on defense?
Yeah, you know, we're led by Isaac Kynes, who's our three-year starter, quarterback, can run or pass. We don't like to run him all the time because we want to keep him healthy, but he can run and throw. Great leadership this year, so he's been doing a great job. In the backfield, we have Carlos Ibarra, who's back from last year. He's played for us for 3 years too on varsity, but more so in the last 2 years. Had a great night last night. Didn't carry the ball much, but he had 3 TDs on 5 touches. So he's ready to go and he's fresh. So that's good thing for us. That offensive line is pretty solid with Travis Trigger up front, Richie Oldenburg at the one end, and Trayton Kalesa at the other end, and Jake and Siski at the guard. So we're pretty solid up front, and got some experience from last year. You know, we've been able to play some extra games here in the postseason, so that helps out a lot. And we just look forward to it's fun just watching these guys week in and week out, and that's the challenge of it, and getting ready for the long run.
And certainly when you talk about Deckerville football, you are a Hall of Fame coach, and you got those honors during the off season, and congratulations on that. But you built Deckerville into a really nice program. We've had some great athletes come through the program, great success in 8-man, and I'm sure you guys and the team are excited about keeping that success going.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a great honor being in the Hall of Fame with the Michigan High School Football Coach Association. But, you know, I've had a lot of great coaches coach with me that's even made that possible. We have great kids, you know, at Deckerville that work hard, willing to sacrifice and have a lot of courage to play this great game, and happy with the community because they've done nothing but support me and our administration. So when you put all this together, and you know, we're willing to work and have a great experience with these young men. It's just not a game to us here. I mean, it's an experience for our kids. So it's something that I wanted to take with them that they can use in life. So, and hopefully that's what we're getting. And you can see the passion with our young men and our coaches too. So really happy about that. And but now we, you know, it's another season, and we have this is a great group of kids, and we might have just turned the corner last night too with some great team play that I haven't saw in a long time. So it's glad to see when you see that team turn the corner one game, and then, hey, here we go. So got a long way to go, but we're going to work hard, and we're going to try to win the conference and then get a chance to go for the state championship.
And I know that's nice to see early in week two, feeling that maybe a turn the corner there, and a lot of football left to play, but certainly you guys are lined up to have good success this year. Got a nice string of home games, and best of luck to you guys, Bill. We'll be seeing you next week and talk to you throughout the year, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to Sportsline on WMIC.
Penny and Heidi and the staff of Liberty Lanes in Sandusky wish the area teams the best of luck in sports competition. Football time means the bowling season will soon be starting, and registration is going on now. There are openings on many of the leagues. For registration, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes. Liberty Lanes serves all of your favorites 7 days a week. Mondays, it's 50 cents off on their famous wet burritos, and there are great fish specials every Friday evening. Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky, where pizza is their special. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860.
Welcome back to Sportsline. Greta Van Fleet there.
Whoa, Eddie. I just crossed the line. That's inappropriate.
That was the hot take of the day. Okay, by the way, Decker Wiggles, good interview there with Dave Frederick and head coach Bill Brown. Deckerville, 15 first downs, 355 yards as a team to take down and wearing down Genesee. Carlos Ibarra, he had 5 carries, 62 yards, 3 touchdowns. Trevor Osborne, 12 carries, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. All right, and good win for the Eagles. And they have a big game, which will be on week 3. WBGV 92.5, Dave Frederick. We will have Deckerville hosting Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart just scored 70 points after smarting with their loss against North Huron in week 1.
Yep, that's, you know, I expected Mount Pleasant to bounce back. I was a little bit surprised at the 70 points, but they're a pretty good ball club, and looking forward to good things out of Deckerville next week. A game that we'll have on the station, as you mentioned, and live stream. Thanks to your guys' hard work. We got to give a shout out to Nick Lean last night. A great job on the board back here in Tyler and Montgomery. We had some technical difficulties, but made it all happen. And it's always good to have guys back here at the station helping us out.
Yeah, trying to make this program is, well, that was my whole goal when coming on board, is to change how we do things here for the better.
And I got to mention Eddie and Adam Filkins, two great offseason acquisitions for us. We had big contracts signed for them, and they made the move. And
really?
We've got him on board.
Well, right now I'm feeling like, right now I'm feeling like Antonio Brown. I haven't seen the contract.
I was just going to say there was a little scuffle about Eddie wanted to use his original headset, but it wasn't approved by the league. But that's got him in.
Just give him a few donuts and he's okay.
Yes.
All right. So 8-player football action on 92.5 WBGV, Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart at Deckerville. Coverage starts around, what, 6:15, 6:30?
Yep, 6:15, as long as things are working right, and we'll get our pregame in, spend a fair amount of time pregame getting stuff put together, and we'll have that pregame show, and then looking forward to a great, that'd be our second eight-man game this year, eight-player game, sorry, this year, and then we're going to be switching over to 11-man for a few weeks, so good time to Deckerville, great folks out there, great program, great support, and good time.
We'll be back with our picks.
Kohler Oil and Propane, your number one fuel source provider, proudly serving the Michigan Thumb area. Kohler Oil and Propane Services provide propane services to all types of customers, whether it's residential, commercial, and industrial, or agriculture cost-effective uses. The company's longevity and dependable supply contracts help assure an uninterrupted fuel supply. And with bulk deliveries, that's Kohler Oil and Propane. Call 1-800-572-2191 or on the website getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohlers.
Truth hurts sometimes with the bad picks I make.
Why men great so they gotta be great? I just took a DNA test.
Okay, forget that DNA test last time. Okay. We came back here to close out with our picks. We only have 8-player football. Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart or Deckerville. I will take Deckerville.
Deckerville all the way.
Eagles fly high, as Sammy Hagar would say. Morris at Burton Atherton. Morris. Genesee at Kingston. Ooh.
Kingston.
Let's go with Kingston. Why not?
I'll go with Kingston. Mayville at Caseville, if there's a game. Mayville.
Mayville big time.
North Huron CPS. I'll take North Huron.
The Warriors.
Yep.
I'll take the Ultimate Warriors, too.
Peck at Owengage. Peck is on a run. I'll take them.
Pirates rock on. Yep.
Peck is too much for the OGs tonight. That night.
The Rise of the Phoenix or Flint International. I'll take them over All Saints.
I'll take All Saints.
Me, too.
Ashley at Akron Fairgrove. I'll take Akron Fairgrove.
I've got Akron Fairgrove, too.
I'll take the team that starts with A.
Madison Academy at New Haven Merritt. I'll take Merritt.
Merritt here, too.
Yep.
Croslex at Emily City. I'll take the Pioneers.
I got Croswell Lexington, too.
Yep, Pioneers.
Cass City at Marlette, I'll take the Red Hawks.
Cass City again.
That's a safe pick.
Green Devils over Memphis, I'll take them.
Oh, Brown City definitely in a route here.
Yep, Johnny Martins will shine.
North Branch at Yale, I'll take the Broncos of North Branch.
Broncos here, too.
I'll ride that train.
I'll take Harbor Beach over KPAC.
Definitely Harbor Beach.
Okay.
Sandusky at Ubley. I'll take the Bearcats.
I'm going to take Sandusky.
I'll take the Bearcats.
Elmont at Algonac, I'll take the Raiders.
Elmont.
The Raiders.
Richmond at Armada.
Richmond.
All the way.
USA at Carroll.
I got Carroll.
I'll take the USA.
I'll take the Tigers. Lakers at Bad Axe.
Bad Axe.
I'll take the Lakers. Reese at Vassar, I'll go with the Rockets.
The Rockets for sure.
Yep.
Millington needing a needed win against Saginaw Carlton. No, it's Carlton. I'll take Millington after two straight losses against two of the toughest teams in football right now.
For sure. I've got Millington in that, too, to bounce back.
The Auto Show and the Chicken is good right now. And Frankenmuth, I'll take them over Bridgeport.
Frankenmuth for sure.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline. And we'll get ready for the news here in about 30 seconds. Dave Frederick, 92.5, Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart at Deckerville. We will have Sandusky at Ubley. We're trying to figure out what our second Gable coverage on Thumbtoe Getter Sports will be. We'll also Phil Nickel of Thumbtoe Getter Sports.
Dave Frederick here. And Eddie, the God of Fury.
Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline on WMIC AM 660.
Keep your radio locked right here on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC, Sandusky.